So will we send ground troops to Iraq and battle ISIS?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
American forces will not have a combat mission. Instead, these advisors are supporting Iraqi and Kurdish forces. The best counterweights to ISIL are local forces. And as you know, in June, the president asked Congress for the necessary authority for DOD to train and equip moderate Syrian opposition forces and $500 million to fund this program.
The folks on the ground are in a very much a combat advisory role. They are not participating in direct combat. There is no intention for them to do so. I've mentioned, though, that if I found that circumstance evolving, that I would, of course, change my recommendation. An example, if the Iraqi security forces and the PESH were at some point ready to retake Mosul, a mission that I would find to be extraordinarily complex, it could very well be part of that particular mission to provide close combat advising or accompanying.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Is there any doubt in your mind, each of you, that if ISIL had the capability to kill millions of Americans, they would do so?
There's no doubt in my mind. They'll kill anybody who doesn't conform to their narrow ideological bent.
I agree.
So really, it's mankind against ISIL. It's just not us against ISIL or Sunni Arab states against ISIL. If you're a Christian in the region, they will kill you very quickly. Is that correct?
Unless you convert.
Is it fair to say that if we don't contain this threat and eventually destroy it, in a year from now, if they're still flourishing in Syria and this coalition hadn't come about, America is more in danger of a major attack than we are today?
Yes.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. There's a bit of breaking news on the situation in Iraq and the Islamic State. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, General Dempsey, has said that the option to send U.S. troops to battle ISIS is not completely off the table. It's not the first choice, but it certainly could happen if situations exist on the ground. There's also reports that up to half of the Iraq army is really not on our side. These are AP news reports just talking about the reality of what it would be and what it will be to actually defeat and destroy the Islamic State in both Iraq and Syria. And, Dad, this news, it changes the entire narrative that we've heard from the administration.
It does. And actually, Jordan and I are in New York right now for a series of meetings regarding our book, Rise of ISIS. But it's not just AP that's reporting this. New York Times, of course, will have sound later in the broadcast from General Dempsey himself. But General Dempsey acknowledged that he will, if necessary, recommend ground troops, that nothing should be off the table. However, the fact of the matter is President Obama has rejected the advice of General Dempsey and the Joint Chiefs because they've asked for special forces to already be on the ground for precisely what you just said, Jordan. That is the concern, which is real, that the Islamic State military, they're up to 31, or now they're saying 35,000 strong, is basically regaining its strength and redeploying a strategy, and the Iraqi troops are abandoning and many joining the other side here. So this is a really serious threat. We talk about this extensively in Rise of ISIS, and I know David French is going to be on the broadcast right after this segment and, of course, has real-world experience with this. But you've got the commander-in-chief, the president, basically right now disagreeing with plans the Joint Chief have already put forward. So it's what you said. The narrative of the president is to do this in a way that doesn't look like war. But folks, this is war with an organization we have got to challenge.
Folks, we've got a brand new book out, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. And you can purchase this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also iTunes as an e-book. And folks, right now, actually, if you get the e-book on Amazon, it's available now to download. So I encourage you today, get Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We tackle all of these issues, but we also explain who ISIS is. And there's another important part of this campaign for the book. You know, we've never done a book like this before through a major publisher, and we've never talked to you about it on air. We've never had something like this. We want to make sure this is a bestseller. We can only do that with you purchasing this book. We can only get on those bestseller lists. And why is it important to get on those lists? Because if you get on the New York Times bestsellers list, guess who has to read it? The New York Times editorial team, their book review staff. We can do it if you purchase Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore today. And we've got all the links of where to purchase at riseofisis.com.
It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy? Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand, by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I'm joined by David French, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, and Stan Bennett, our director of government affairs. And we will continue to talk about these statements from General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about the potential of U.S. troops on the ground in Iraq, and also the Iraqi military. Can we really trust them? Are they really with us? But I first want to get an update on what's going on in the House of Representatives and in the U.S. Senate from Stan Bennett, our director of government affairs. Stan, Congress is moving quickly to try to get out of town this week with the upcoming November elections, and generally, it looks like the president will get some authorization to support these rebel groups in Syria, though House Republicans have tried to put limitations on that. A limitation like this funding ends December 11th, and we'll have to reassess the situation then.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. And ultimately, I think actually the president wants Congress holding the bag on this. What he has done is he has asked Congress for authorization to arm these Syrian rebels, and yet he's gone out and talked like this is going to be an authorization to respond to ISIS. So our listeners really need to understand what the House of Representatives is debating today. They are not debating whether or not the United States is going to respond to ISIS. I think almost every member of Congress supports that. But the president has said he is going to move forward on his plan, and he has only asked Congress to authorize the portion of this plan that I think he knows is likely to fail, and that is the arming of these rebels who have not been thoroughly vetted. What is going to happen today? They are engaging right now and through the afternoon in debate on that measure. It is an amendment to the continuing resolution to fund the government. The vote to arm those rebels in the House of Representatives is going to take place around 4 or 5. My best guess, Jordan, is that it will pass. However, there are literally scores of both Republicans and Democrats who will oppose that measure. So that's the key vote to watch. If it passes, the next vote will be on the underlying measure, the continuing resolution to fund the government through the elections and sort of take it out of the political process. And I just got to tell you, I really think that true leadership from the president on this one would have been laying out an entire plan to respond to ISIS and then asking Congress to authorize all of it. The president did not do that. That would have required political accountability on both his part and on Congress's part, and that's just something that we're not very good at in Washington, D.C. So around 4 or 5 o'clock, the House of Representatives is going to vote to fund these Syrian rebels.
And David, the idea here that we're generally talking about Syrian rebels is also a troubling part of this analogy and why we have a petition opposing funding potential jihadists. And the idea that Congress has not been informed enough necessarily, especially if you've got serious splits going on within both parties. So it's not just a partisan Republican-Democrat issue, that they don't know enough about what groups President Obama wants to fund and how do we get the funding and the support and the arms to these groups.
Well, and how could they possibly know? We don't have boots on the ground in Syria. We don't have military forces in Syria to separate the good guys from the bad guys, if there are even a significant number of quote-unquote good guys in Syria. Look, if we vote to fund Syrian rebels and arm Syrian rebels, I can virtually guarantee that some of those weapons that American taxpayers pay for will fall into the hands of jihadists, maybe even ISIS itself. That's already happened. It's already happened that our own trained and funded rebels have crossed sides and joined ISIS. It's already happened that weapons that we have paid for have fallen into the hands of ISIS. All that's already happened. And what Congress would do if it votes to fund this and to train and arm these rebels is just make sure that ISIS gets more weaponry.
The only sliver of hope I see in this is the potential timeline change, that this has got some limitations. Now, Than, would that ever survive the U.S. Senate? A limitation on the president's power to do this ending, you know, in mid-December?
You know, I think it's got a chance to, Jordan, and here's the only reason why. I think Senate Democrats, more than anyone, are interested in getting out of town and facing their own elections, and they don't want to take this vote before that happens. It's a sad state in political affairs and in our government affairs when you have a threat like ISIS, a threat to our homeland, and it sure seems like Senate Democrats, and, you know, I'm not even just going to put this on Senate Democrats, but Washington, D.C. as a whole wants to delay the overall debate on this until after they go back and get reelected. It's not something that should be on the table. The limitation, I agree with you, Jordan, the limitation is a good thing that the House of Representatives is putting on, but I think the motivation behind Senate Democrats to go along with something like that is so that they don't have to take the hard vote until they go back and ask for their constituents' vote.
Folks, we've got to make our voice loud and clear on this. We have a petition opposing funding to any potential Syrian jihadist online at ACLJ.org. You can also join the petition by phone, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And I also want to make clear, we've got our new book out. And if you've got an e-reader, and let me ask David, David, if you've got an e-reader, is this available on Nook already as well?
It's available on every e-reader that's out there in a popular format, Kindle, Nook, Apple. Any of those, if you've got a Kindle app on your iPad, it'll work. If a Kindle app on your Android device, it'll work. So any kind of e-reader format you've got, if you go to Amazon, to Barnes & Noble, or to Apple iBooks, you can get it immediately.
So it's not just a pre-order, folks. If you want the e-copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, you can purchase it now and get it now on your e-reader, on any of those e-reader devices, as David said, through Amazon, through Barnes & Noble, or going to iBooks through iTunes. So you can now read the book. And if you'd like to order the paperback copy, you can pre-order that now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And we encourage you, you know, if you prefer that copy, to do that or get both, because it's very important. We want to get on the New York Times bestsellers list, and not just for our own purposes to say, oh, this is a bestseller. It's really to change the discussion about the Islamic State and to get a serious text, a serious book, an analysis about who the Islamic State is, about this threat that we're facing, onto the bestsellers list so that the New York Times can't ignore it. And folks, we can only do that if you purchase a copy today. And you can pre-order the paperback. You can order and receive immediately the ebook. So that's available now. The second you purchase that through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or iBooks, you will get your copy downloaded right to your device, and you can read the book 5 minutes from now. So, folks, I actually want to play a song that comes with the purchase of the book. We've played it a couple times to give you an opportunity to buy the book. Let's play a couple of minutes of that so that people have a chance to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or through iTunes and iBooks and download the book now. They can pay and download the book now or order their paperback copy. We really need them to do so. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Let's do that while we listen to the song that you get the download code for with your purchase of the ebook or paperback.
Some people will descend, and what is now has been before. Over and over it's been ignored. It is a heart, whatever soul, the slightest innocence, the end becomes a means of
Folks, when we get back from this next break, we're going to talk about the potential of U.S. troops in Iraq. And it's not just us talking about the potential. It's the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, Martin Dempsey. General Dempsey has talked about this potential, which is different than what the president is saying. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, can we trust the Iraqi military to really do the job and defeat ISIS? Or what? How much of the Iraqi military can we trust to do that with, again, the weapons and training that we provided them? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. I do want to, though, go quickly again to Stan Bennett, because, Stan, to remind people, if they're just joining us again, because we were playing the song so people had time to purchase the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, we expect a vote on this today on Capitol Hill when it comes to some kind of funding for Syrian, quote, moderate rebels. Though, folks, these are not uniformed moderates. You can't walk around Syria and say, okay, that's a moderate rebel, okay, that's a member of ISIS.
Yeah, the vote that we're likely to have debate today is in the House of Representatives to authorize that $500 million in funding for those 5,000 rebels. And by the way, that figure, Jordan, we can talk about this more after the break, but that is something that is really bothering Senate Democrats, especially Joe Manchin. It's essentially $100,000 per Syrian rebel, and the House of Representatives is likely to approve that this afternoon.
Folks, we need you to speak up loud and clear that even with this funding, it doesn't have to go to known jihadists. They've got to do their due diligence and make sure no funding goes to jihadists. If you support that, call Adrian to our petition, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and purchase today your copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It's available as an ebook now. No more waiting on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iBooks.
No, I can't stand this.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy? Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand, by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
Whatever soul this light is in essence, the end.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and folks, we are shifting now from talking about the funding of these, quote, Syrian rebels and ISIS and, you know, what will happen there. We'll talk more about that in this segment, to the potential of U.S. troops. That's right, you heard me correctly, U.S. troops on the ground fighting ISIS, fighting the Islamic State. And this is not just coming from news reports. This is not just coming from, unnamed sources. This is coming from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey. Take a listen to him.
This is an Iraq-first strategy, but not an Iraq-only one. Job one is empowering the Iraqi ground forces to go on the offensive, which they're already beginning to demonstrate. If we reach the point where I believe our advisors should accompany Iraq troops on attacks against specific ISIL targets, I'll recommend that to the president.
Let me go right to David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ, a veteran of the Iraq War. And David, when you hear statements like that from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, it's got to put into question here the the Obama administration. Who is right? Who is wrong? And who has got the authority? Obviously, ultimately, the president. But is Chairman Dempsey, General Dempsey, putting this out there because the potential exists, and President Obama wanted to make sure someone in his administration had said so?
Well, it's either that, or this is the voice of reality speaking, where a general does not want to be on the record supporting a strategy that he knows would fail. I mean, the idea, it's interesting here that the President of the United States said, no boots on the ground, no boots on the ground. And then the chairman of the Joint Chiefs says, well, I'd recommend to the president some boots on the ground if the initial strategy didn't work. This is a general staring the end of the Obama administration in the face, understanding that there's some military credibility on the line here, because there will be another president who will look at these same generals and say, why did the strategy not work? So I wonder here if he isn't laying down a bit of a marker, because he phrased it very carefully. He said he'd recommend to the president advisors accompanying the troops. That's not saying that the president has authorized it. He said he'd recommend. So it's interesting. It will be interesting to know one day behind the scenes if that was an authorized statement from him or if he did that on his own to lay down a marker.
He talked more about the situation on the ground in Iraq as well, with the Iraqi military, and really how much of that can we trust to help fight ISIS, the Islamic State, and what condition they're in. Take a listen. Again, this is all coming from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey.
On your question about the Shia militia, look, I think our offer of support here will be conditional, and that is, for example, there were 50 Iraqi brigades that we assessed. 26 of them we assessed to be reputable partners. That is to say, they've remained multi-confessional, they're well-led, they still have their equipment, they seem to have a certain cohesion and a commitment to the central government. The other 24 concerned us a bit on the issue of infiltration and leadership and sectarianism.
All right, David, that's no small number from the Joint Chiefs. Explain to people when he's talking about these brigades and, you know, 26 being okayed, but 24 is almost half, not trustworthy, don't have their equipment, aren't organized properly, and may infiltrate the Islamic State and actually switch sides. These are the total of 50 brigades that the Iraqi military oversees. What kind of numbers are we talking about there?
You know, 50 brigades, you're looking at, you know, more than 200,000 troops all told. So when you're talking about 24 that are unreliable, you're talking about in the neighborhood of 100,000. So, look, this is the damage that was done when all of American troops were removed from Iraq, and when the Maliki government was just left to its own devices. He cleansed brigade after brigade of any Sunni influence, which made them generally like essentially Shiite militia. He cleansed the best leaders, replacing them with his political cronies. And that's why the Iraqi army crumbled initially in the face of ISIS. So now we're left with an Iraqi army that was about half as strong as it was when we left, with only about half of its units truly comprised of a broad spectrum of Iraqi society and able to engage in ground combat. I mean, this is the consequence of abandoning Iraq and leaving a victory incomplete. This is what happens.
We've also heard now from the Prime Minister of Iraq, Haider al-Abadi, that he does not welcome, nor does he want U.S. troops on the ground in Iraq. Very telling. I wonder if he would send the same message to the Iranian fighters and Hezbollah fighters that would unite with him and on a sectarian ground. You know, the Shia militia idea that we're talking about, folks, is because ISIS is primarily composed 100% of Sunni Muslims, and the forces it's been fighting, whether in Syria or Iraq, have been the Shia forces. Of course, they've killed Sunnis along the way who don't agree with their ideas. But that's, again, a sectarian conflict. And when you're talking about half of a military that you can't even trust and a government that's saying we don't need boots on the ground, but yet we keep getting reports about the Islamic State being right outside of Baghdad, you know that there is more going on than meets the eye. And we're dealing with a very real and dangerous threat. To understand that threat completely, you need to get a copy of our new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. If you get it on Amazon, if you get it on Barnes & Noble or through iTunes and you do it, the e-book right now, you actually will get the download today. So it's out. It's available. And And if you prefer the paperback, that's available as well at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I know many of you do, and maybe you want to get both. You could start your e-reader today and get that paperback in just a couple of weeks. So you can do that on Amazon, you can do it at Barnes & Noble, and you can do it through iTunes as well. The book is ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We want you to be educated on this, especially as there's so many changing circumstances here. And let me go to Stan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, to talk more about that. Because, Stan, when we hear these reports from David, half the Iraqi military that can't be trusted, that's in the words of our Joint Chief of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, that there is the potential that he'd recommend U.S. troops on the ground. It's as if kind of Congress and the president, I think the blame lies more with the president, but Congress as well, just don't want to deal with the reality that they may be coming back from elections, and that could be a dangerous time too, that lame duck session of Congress, November to December, where some who are defeated or have retired may be more likely to support things that aren't as popular.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. I think there's blame to go around. I mean, first and foremost, it has got to start with the commander-in-chief. This is what happens when you have a commander-in-chief who does not issue a clear call on what the mission is. He says, this threat is great. There's a threat we have to respond to. I think everybody in Congress agrees with that. However, instead of announcing a clear mission or laying out a clear plan, he announces everything that he won't do. I won't put boots on the ground. I won't do this. I won't do that. But then General Dempsey, who has actually seen fights like this, he's been engaged in fights like this, he comes up to testify. He knows that if arming the rebels does not work, the only route left to him might be to advise putting boots on the ground, something that the president has already taken off the table. And yet people in both the House and the Senate seem content to postpone the larger debate on authorization until after they go back and get elected. And Jordan, just let me make one more point here. This goes to the point of David talking about the ramifications that happen if this plan from the president fails. What will happen is the $500 million of U.S. weaponry that we are going to send into Syria, if that rebel group either joins with ISIL or, if worse, if ISIL defeats them, that $500 million of U.S. weaponry will be in ISIL's hand to further their jihad. So this is not just whether or not we want to waste $500 million. This is whether or not we want to send $500 million to a place where it will ultimately end in ISIL control.
Folks, get your copy of Rise of ISIS. The ebook's available today. When you purchase that, you can download it. It will download immediately, and you'll get the information so you can get your free copy of the song Where I Stand from the Jay Sekulow Band. There's the website and a code you'll put in. That's at the end of the ebook. If you purchase it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through iBooks, it's available today. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Please purchase your copy and a copy for your friends and family.
In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
So our national defense, in terms of stopping ISIL from killing thousands or millions of Americans if they get the capability, really comes down to whether or not we can convince the Arab world to go in there and defeat these guys?
It really comes down to building a coalition so that what the Arab Muslim world sees is them rejecting ISIS, not
they already reject ISIL.
I can't stand to see.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French, Senior Counsel at ACLJ, along with Than Bennett in our Washington office. Jay and Jordan are right now in meetings in New York about our new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, a book that is, quote, turning heads in the publishing industry with the way you have responded, the way you have supported it, And you are making people pay attention to this issue. I think that is really critical to point out, is when you get this book, when you read it, when you share it with your friends and share the knowledge you've gained with your friends, you are starting a national conversation, a critical national conversation, as we stand, Than, on the brink of arming and funding. Well, who are we going to be arming and funding? It looks like it's going to be jihadists, and it looks like the House of Representatives is going to roll over.
Yeah, it really is the $500 million question in Washington, D.C. today, David, because we're about ready to send $500 million to a group of rebels who we don't know who they are. And if history is any indication, I think it's more likely that they are going to be long-term our enemy than our ally, and yet we are going to put U.S. weapons in their hands. But, David, let me just say, just kind of generally, I think the book that we're talking about today, it becomes especially important when we have a commander-in-chief who says things like, success in this engagement against ISIL looks like Somalia and Yemen. Those are two terrorist havens. It's especially important when we have a commander-in-chief who says that the, quote, Islamic State, the self-described Islamic State, is not Islamic. David, we have a commander-in-chief who is closing his eyes to reality. He wishes that the facts on the ground were not as they are. However, we can't change those facts. We just need to deal with them, and that is what we're trying to do with this book. We are trying to arm the American people and the ACLJ members with the truth about who ISIS or ISIL is, and therefore, when the president comes out and says these things that are not based in fact, they have something to respond with. They are armed with facts. They are educated on exactly who ISIS is.
Yeah, there's a phrase we use in the book, ignorance is the enemy of our democracy, and that is absolutely the case here. We have, and unfortunately, because the administration is actually telling falsehoods about ISIS, such as that it's not Islamic when it's Islamic to its core, and in fact its Islamic nature is the heart of its appeal, when the administration is telling falsehoods about the threat, how do Americans know what is the right response? That's why we wrote this book, so that Americans would know the truth. If the president won't tell the truth, we will tell the truth. And one of the truths here is that the Obama administration is choosing to pursue the Libya strategy, which is attack from the air, fund, arm, and quote-unquote train a bunch of jihadists, and then just let's see what happens. Well, in Libya, we saw exactly what happens. In Libya, we saw that the very jihadists that we put in power turned on us, killed our ambassador, killed three more brave Americans, and then chased the rest of our diplomats out of the country, where they are now filming themselves jumping in and swimming in our ambassador's swimming pool, in the meantime turning that entire nation into a terrorist safe haven. You will learn about these facts, learn about what needs to be done, what must be done, and the true nature of the enemy that we face if you purchase Rise of ISIS. It's available at Amazon for immediate download and paperback pre-order, Barnes & Noble for immediate download and paperback pre-order, and Apple iBooks for immediate download. Go to riseofisis.com, where you will see links to all of these places. Purchase it today.
It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy? Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand, by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, as we continue to talk about the threat of ISIS, I wanted to play for you an interview that Jordan did on Janet Parshall's radio show called In the Market last week, talking about both Pastor Saeed and this emerging ISIS threat. It's very relevant to the conversation that we're having today. Let's go ahead and roll that now. Again, this is Jordan with Janet Parshall.
You know, I'm just starting to think to myself, Franklin Graham, here he is, Samaritan's Purse. He has come out and has been unbelievably vocal about recognizing radical Islam as the challenge to religious liberty and the coster, if I can put it that way, against Christians in particular in so many countries. Now, some people might pull him aside and say, no, Franklin, that might have a negative impact on Samaritan's Purse. You don't want to do that. And yet he has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger in this area. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's because Franklin actually works in those areas. So unlike some of us some people on the outside who may think and say, okay, well, then how are they going to be able to do the work that they do in some of these areas? You know, when people have disasters and when Samaritan's Purse comes to the rescue, they quickly forget all of that and they just need help. And so they're able to do their work regardless. I think he's understood that and learned that through his years of doing this work. And so when he does speak out, it's done so in a way, purposefully. It's not off the cuff. And for all of us who are engaged in these issues, there are sometimes you have to be tough. There are sometimes you have to be quiet. And we weigh that every single day on a number of issues at the ACLJ. And, you know, I think just last night when the president started off the speech saying, you know, this isn't Islamic, ISIL isn't Islamic. And even if his point was, you know, it doesn't represent all Muslims, and certainly it doesn't, the idea that they have sympathy among the Muslim world, that they are recruiting only from a Muslim base, that you have to be a Muslim, that they're using terms like caliphate, and they're cloaking their movement in their religious faith. And it's not a one-off. It's not five people trying to use Christianity for a bad purpose. You know, it's more similar to, honestly, what we had happen here, though on a different scale, with the KKK, who did infiltrate churches, and the church was not doing enough. And certainly you could say that there was a Christian problem. Right now, the world is dealing globally, though, with a Muslim problem. And we have to recognize that first, and so do Muslims.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Might not be politically correct, but well said. By the way, on our website, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, we've linked to the ACLJ website. Remember, Christian persecution, just one of a myriad of issues that they tackle, but also specifically, as we approach the two-year anniversary of the false imprisonment of Pastor Saeed Abedini, I strongly want you to be a part of the Be Heard Project. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Let's bang on the gates of heaven for the release of Pastor Saeed and all of our brothers and sisters who have been led away in chains. More with Jordan Sekulow right after this. I sincerely hope that this program has helped you in some way today. And if it has, please tell a friend and encourage them to listen to it as well. This and other programs that have aired in the past year are freely available to listen to online at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Programs older than that are also available for purchase at moodyaudio.com. And thanks again for listening.
I was trying to get up the block, and I turned around and saw this tremendous fire. Actually, I thought it was a bomb. I couldn't see a plane. And I saw people jumping out of and in that
result of 9/11. Jordan Sekulow is with us, the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. And Jordan, that's even true of ACLJ.
And in that haste, people were stampeding. People started screaming that there was another plane coming. I didn't see the plane, but I turned around, and it just, the second building just exploded. And again, all the debris was flying towards us. There was a woman on the ground with her baby. People were stampeding the baby. Myself and another man threw ourselves over the baby and pushed into the building. I got up, and I just ran. And I ran towards City Hall, and I said, oh, God, why am I running there? And then I started to run towards the water.
Horrible. 13 years ago, and it's only by the grace of God we've not had an incident of that magnitude since that time. But it's not for their lack of wanting to do some damage. All of us have been changed as a result of 9/11. Jordan Sekulow is with us, the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. And Jordan, that's even true of ACLJ. It really sort of changed. You've always been cutting edge First Amendment issues, right? Johnny on the spot defending the rights of believers. But it really almost caused your organization to just explode, if I can use that word, in that it became international because you recognized that the threats were no longer just in the United States, but the threats to Christians were, in fact, international. So tell me how it changed the work of ACLJ.
Absolutely. You know, it's 9/11 for every American had some kind of impact, whether it's on their personal life, on their business, or both, or the ministry they work, they do or here in the United States and around the world. You know, before 9/11, we had some international offices engaged in very similar issues as the ACLJ here at home, and they still are very present. The European Center for Law and Justice in France, which is based in France but kind of handles the whole EU and Western Europe, and then the Slavic Center for Law and Justice in Moscow, which handles religious liberty issues in Russia. But after that moment, you had the ECLJ and our team there. The whole idea of the law of war and terrorism and enemy combatants and what do we do about these new enemies that we're facing and legally. And of course, we had a good friend of ours, the Attorney General of the United States at the time, John Ashcroft, who became Attorney General before the 9/11 attacks. And, you know, it changed everyone's focus. So for us, whether it was the Patriot Act and whether it was trying to secure our country domestically or overseas, we now have so many more offices around the world, and all of them handle this issue. And, you know, before 9/11, the number of people on our staff who would be considered terror experts or specialist in this kind of policy would be just a few that had military experience. Now we have people who are veterans of the Iraq War have come on as senior legal counsel, and that really assists us during all of the issues that are faced by persecution of Christians, but also this newest threat like ISIS, and now going back and taking what everyone has learned over the last more than a decade.
Wow, amazing. You mentioned ISIS. Talk about an e-book that your dad has written that's going to be coming out later in September.
That's right. We have a new book out. It's called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. And I'm actually a co-author along with the attorney I was just mentioning, David French, who is a veteran of the Iraq War. And another one of our attorneys, Skip Ash, who is a 20-plus year veteran and served our country and also was at the Pentagon before going back to law school and joining us, the ACLJ. So it's a great team of people who contributed to this. A lot of it was at our time at Oxford University, actually, before ISIS had become the threat it is now, actually, just a few months ago. It wasn't taken quite as seriously by people in the United States. We started working on an explanation, because there's not a lot out there about exactly who ISIS is. How did this formulize? Who is it? Who's making it up? What is their belief? What's their view system? How does it make it different from other terror groups, even other Islamic terror groups? What makes them similar? And so we've put together this a book so that people can be more educated than just what they may be hearing quickly and can actually learn something about what may be our next great enemy. And it may, you could argue already is now our next great enemy and could lead us into a real war, whether that happens under this president or not. And so it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and every iTunes to pre-order now. But it's a short read. It's not a really long book. It's kind of, I think, 120 some odd pages. So it's something that everybody listening right now, if you care about this issue and you're saying, okay, I want to know more about ISIS, I want to get it from a trusted source, we put it together. And so it's doing very well already in pre-orders. Not something we wanted to have to write about. But again, just as I was explaining, lots changed in the world since 9/11, especially for those of us who are Americans and never really faced this kind of reality the way we did that day. And so we all have become, in our own ways, and that's why we're all four part of this book, experts in different parts of the analysis. And so it's called Rise of ISIS, and it's available everywhere.
Excellent. I'm so glad that you were able to tell our friends that. As one of the authors, Jordan, what was the thing that surprised you the most in doing your research on ISIS?
How quickly the group, that's part one. How quickly this group, it's not as quick as some have tried to act in the media or even the present. I mean, it took years. But the idea that over years they really have put Al-Qaeda to the side. I mean, they've condemned Al-Qaeda and they've taken it to this next level. And then for me, it's coming to grips with, even though we may not like this, I think it may not be politically correct, the idea that this group is a natural formulation of what happens when you start being sympathetic to terrorism, which is happening all over the Muslim world, to maybe groups that aren't as extreme, and then suddenly you get ISIS. And of course you do, because that's what happens when you start okaying this kind of behavior and acting as if it's moral.
Wow. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. You can find it now on Amazon.com. It's an ebook, by the way, and as you heard Jordan say, it's not a particularly lengthy read, but it's a very important one. All things considered, because I've got 30 seconds, Jordan, the speech last night, there's a coalition of the willing, 9 countries now. After 9/11, it was a coalition of 37 countries. Are we eventually going to have to put boots on the ground? You've studied this group. How are we going to eradicate them?
You know, I think in Iraq, we've got to use the Kurds, we've got to use the Iraqi military, and we're putting forces there to train. Very concerned about this idea of letting other militant groups in Syria try to handle ISIS. Sometimes they're working with ISIS. They've admitted that. So that's what I'm most concerned about from that speech. And whether or not we can handle this in Syria without any special forces on the ground is a real question. And I'm not real confident in the president's strategy.
Again, folks, that was Jordan on with Janet Parshall. Again, if you want to get a copy of this very important book that Jay has authored called Rise of ISIS, you can do it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or at Apple iBooks. You can also find more information at riseofisis.com.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy? Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand, by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, I want to play for you an interview that Jay did yesterday on the 700 Club with Dr. Robertson, talking about his new book, The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, really detailing where we're at, folks. And we're in a position where we are going to arm Syrian rebels who we don't know who they are in order to address this threat of ISIS. This is something that we've seen coming for some time now, and Jay has been putting together this special book. Jay went on with Dr. Robertson to talk about the book and to talk about the threat that the United States faces today. Let's go ahead and listen again. This is Jay on the 700 Club.
shocking, it's barbaric, it is primitive, it's ghastly. They've already beheaded three hostages, including two Americans, and the Muslim monsters of ISIS are threatening to murder more. But what are their long-term goals? Jay Sekulow, interestingly enough, has written a new book telling us the chilling details. It's called The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. And Jay's with us right now. Jay.
Hey, Pat. Good to see you again.
Bless you. Hey, how come you started studying this ISIS thing? Where'd you come
on to it? Well, you know, we have the office in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and we do a lot of work in the Middle East. And I started looking at what the next wave of terror really was going to be. And we were at Oxford this summer and had this program dealing with terror groups. And the ISIS thing was just starting to get in the news. Mm-hmm. So we'd done a series of papers, me, Skip Ash, a number of us from our offices here. Yeah. And we presented these papers. And all by the end of the program, the entire topic discussion was on the extent and significance of what was then called, they were calling themselves the Islamic State now. It was then called ISIS and ISIL, you'll hear. But we realized that this was a group that had the lethality that Al-Qaeda has never had, the troops that Al-Qaeda had never had, the landmass that Al-Qaeda never had, and the money that Al-Qaeda had money, but not like this. They are operating. You know, the president wants to ignore the fact that he says, well, it's not a nation state. Well, in reality, they're operating like one. And the growth of it is so significant in such a relatively short time. It was AQI, was the Al-Qaeda in Iraq, was ISIS. And they were so brutal, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that Osama bin Laden kicked him out. That's how bad this group is. And they are on the march, and we are in their sights. The United States is not immune from this. They have got agents everywhere. And as we've looked at it, we think that this is a threat that if we ignore, we're ignoring it at our own peril.
What are their goals? What do they want to do?
It's the establishment. I mean, he's done it, in a sense. And that is the establishment of the caliphate.
Oh, yeah.
So Abu Bakr becomes Caliph Ibrahim. He changes the name initially from the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq to the Islamic State in Syria and the Levant. That's the greater Middle East. Now it's just the Islamic State. So it is the establishment of the caliph, the caliphate, and basically the application of Sharia under the banner. They said they're going to raise the flag of ISIS over the White House. They mean that. I mean, this is not something we can ignore. They mean it. And the reality is, it is such a significant danger to the United States. I think it impacts everything else that's going on in the Middle East and the rest of the world. And we're looking, you know, when you had the Hamas conflict with Gaza and Gaza with Israel this last time, people were ignoring ISIS and they were focusing on this. The lethality that ISIS has, Pat, I don't think we can even imagine right now.
Why has the president been so cautious? He said we're going to degrade them and all this kind of stuff. You got to kill them, don't you?
Because he thinks it's a manageable threat. And when we wrote Rise of ISIS, to deal with exactly that point, mm-hmm. because the reality is two things the president said which are telling. Number one, it's not Islamic. Tell that to Caliph Ibrahim that it's not Islamic, because he sure thinks it's Islamic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. And so do the 31,000 fighters, number one. Number two, you can't manage this. You can't negotiate with this. When we were at Oxford this summer, one of the heads of the program that we're involved in, who's a pretty much an appeasement guy, let's get along and you know, kind of work things out, he said, crush them. Now, this is an Oxford professor, expert on the Middle East, who said they have to be crushed. So when you've got the left acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. So the president's hesitancy to engage this is mind-boggling, but it's, again, I think he's protecting his view of the Middle East.
Those guys are running around in pickup trucks with machine guns on them. We could have stopped it pretty quickly if we moved in with force, couldn't we?
Yes, or if we kept a status of force agreement in Iraq in the first place, and none of this would have happened. This was so preventable. Yeah. But, you know, Pat, the president has a narrative. You've talked about this so eloquently on the broadcast. The president has a narrative for the Middle East, and none of this is playing into his narrative. He has backed every wrong side of every leader in the Middle East, including the Muslim Brotherhood, who Egypt is now outlawed.
That's right.
So he's backing them. That's why when he says we're going to work with the Syrian rebels, who are these rebels?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you who they are. The rebels are the ones that sold Steve Saltloff to ISIS for $25,000 or $50,000, and he ended up getting beheaded. So I think I don't even want to say a naive policy. The president has a narrative out there, but when you start saying it's not Islamic, you're ignoring the reality of it. It's certainly their view of Islam.
What are we going to do? What can anybody do? I mean, you've got this guy in the White House who controls foreign policy, and he's just a total screw-up. Well, what is it?
Well, I think when we heard David Cameron make that unbelievable speech that we're going to end this, we're going to stop this, and then the president comes out and said, we don't have a strategy to deal with this, you know what I said? I said, you know, if you don't have a strategy, you're scaring everybody.
And
certainly not the terrorists, but you're scaring the rest of the free world. If you don't have a strategy, find one. Don't go up to the presidential podium and say we don't have a strategy yet. We're not putting the cart before the horse. ISIS is not new. They've been around for a couple of years. They're just now stronger than ever, and lack of leadership has allowed it.
He made a speech to the American public, but he didn't really address what he was going to do for sure.
Except he's not going to send ground troops, and he's going to do the containment, and we're going to eventually eliminate this cancer. And then he initially said, as you said, manage this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not ISIS is not a manageable group. ISIS is a terrorist group that has unbelievable resources. Where do they get millions and millions of dollars a day?
Yeah.
And the rest of the free world cannot just sit and say, well, let's see what happens in 3 to 6 months, because there are 30,000, could be 50. There are not 30,000 Al-Qaeda members out there. Mm-hmm. There are 31,000 soldiers fighting for ISIS. But you're right. Could we annihilate them? In a minute.
Yeah.
But we have to do it. You've got to take decisive action. Leadership says, make a decision. But he's got to change his narrative for the Middle East. And I don't think the president wants to do it. We point that out in the book.
Well, American people, you feel paralyzed. What are we going to do?
I think three things have to happen. Number one, you said it, Pat. We've got to decimate them.
Yes.
They have to be crushed. They have to be stopped. So we have to do everything we can, which means don't get the UN in there meddling in the middle of this. Let's not get sidetracked on issues that don't matter. This issue matters. Crush them. So it's got to be singular focus, which this president has not been very good at.
He doesn't like victory at war.
He doesn't like war. Number two, the narrative, he's got to change his narrative. His narrative didn't work. Change it. And that narrative is, this is a threat to eliminate. We know we have the military power to do it.
Of course.
We have to use it. And the president doesn't want to be a war president, but that's the leadership role. The mantle is passed to him. Act like a president. Act like a commander-in-chief.
If he's got the Levant, he's going to try to take over Jordan,
right.
Israel, of course, Iraq, Egypt. He'll want the whole thing.
Right.
He wants
to march right into Saudi Arabia, too. And they're playing both sides against side of this. So, and that has to stop also. That's not another one of the things that we can do. Our allies in the region, Qatar,
mm-hmm.
really? If they're an ally, stop funding ISIS.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, stop funding these groups. They can do it. It's going to take American leadership. We don't have that right now, but we're going to have to insist on it.
Well, this will shock you, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe it won't shock you, but at least it'll give you something to talk about. It's The Rise of ISIS, and this is available on CBN.com. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold.
Barnes & Noble and Apple iBooks.
I hope it does well. God bless you.
Thank you, Pat.
Jay Sekulow, ladies and gentlemen.
Folks, again, that was Jay on with Dr. Robertson on the 700 Club. Listen, if you have not yet gotten your copy, your e-copy of this new book called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, it is so timely, folks. You need to get a copy of this to be educated about this threat that faces the entire world, certainly faces the United States, but also the entire world. Again, it's called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. You can find more information online at riseofisis.com.
In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.